From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it's about that time. Current Sports has rolled around for one last time to end the week. Yes, it's Friday, TGIF, October 25th, 2013. I'm your host, Al Martin, and I have to personally take a moment because today is a pretty special day for me. Today marks the fourth year, yes, the fourth year, time flies, that I've been a member of the greatest fraternity of all time. Yes, the Zeta Delta chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Shout out to all of my bros and the gents I cross with. N-O-G-P, man, time flies. I told you guys I was going to shout you out, all right? All right, well, we have a great show in store for you all today. Did you catch last night's episode of Current Sports TV? Well, if you didn't, I sat down with MSU head athletic trainer Sally Nogle. It was a great time. Thanks to all of you who showed up to be a part of this week's live studio audience. If you missed the interview, we'll be playing it on today's show. Hold tight, all right? In the meantime, let's get to our show. Here are your current sports headlines for this October 25th, 2013. All right, Louis Delmas. This story is pretty funny here. Louis Delmas, the fifth-year safety, he received an alligator egg his rookie season as a gift from former teammate Ernie Sims. Now, Louis Delmas, of course, he plays with Detroit Lions, safety for the Detroit Lions. From that egg hatched an alligator. Can you believe that? Which Delmas named Mojo. But Delmas said Thursday is time for Mojo to move out. Now, Delmas has housed a 6-foot alligator in a 36-square-foot tank in his basement. But he said it's no longer reasonable to do so. Wide receiver Kevin Ogletree, who was signed after Nate Burleson's injury to his arm, he plans to move in with Delmas and told the former Western Michigan safety that he wasn't comfortable sharing a residence with the alligator. I mean, who would? Ogletree went on to say, quote, "I told him I couldn't stay there with the gator there, so he had to make some adjustments for the New York City kid." Now, Mojo had grown to the point that it ate 2 giant rats. Get this, 3 times per week. Oh, my goodness. Delmas wanted to say the gator ate my refrigerator dry. Unbelievable stuff there. Now, Delmas had Mojo picked up by Allen Park Critter Shop, which now houses the alligator under the care of owner Rick Sims. Now, Delmas said Mojo eventually could end up at the Detroit Zoo, although communication director Patricia Janway told MLive that the zoo had not been contacted. Oh, my goodness. I don't blame Kevin. I mean, if I'm moving in with my teammate and he has a alligator, 6-foot alligator in his basement, I don't think I'd be pretty comfortable sleeping there. funny stuff there. All right. Carson City Crystal, they are going for an undefeated season tonight. And can you believe that? You know, this Friday, tonight marks the end of the high school football regular season already. It seems like yesterday we were talking about high school football revving up and, you know, getting ready for another season, and now it's gone just like that. Oh, my goodness. Now, Carson City Crystal, they won their first conference title in football since 1961. Hats off to Devin Pringle, the head coach over at Carson City Crystal. Now, this fall, the Eagles have defeated 3 6-2 teams and a 4-4 Vesterberg team that could finish 5-4 with a win over Merrill tonight. Now, Carson City Crystal, they opened its season with a 42-14 win over Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary and edged Coleman 50-48 and then knocked off Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart 51-49. So, with the win tonight, again, Carson City Crystal could go undefeated for the entire regular season. Unbelievable. And again, their first conference title in football since 1961. Nice job, Devin. All right, Maurice Ager. Maurice Ager, the Grammy winner? Well, that could possibly be a, very true possibility here, folks. Now, the former Michigan State and NBA guard likes the sound of that, but he never imagined it was possible until this week. The Grammy board announced that his single, called Far From Home, is officially on the ballot for nomination for Best Rap/Sung Collaboration. Ager went on to say, "It's a pleasure. It's a pleasant surprise, a blessing. The best things happen when you don't expect them. It's something I've worked at for a long time. I've put a lot of passion and energy into music. Hopefully, this is paving the way for other athletes who want to get into the business. Now, Ager is 29 years old. He is the first NBA veteran since Shaq in 1997 to be placed on the ballot for a Grammy. The 56th annual Grammy Awards are January 26th at Staples Center in Los Angeles, which Ager now lives. He lives in LA now. The Rap / Sung Award honors a track that involves both rapping and singing, and Ager collaborated with artists LP and Jay Peso on the track, which appears on his debut album Motown. Moetown, and appropriately is about traveling far from home and to chase his dream. So I haven't heard the song, but you know, hats off to Maurice Ager. He is now a Grammy nominated artist. So that track that he's nominated for is one of several tracks that will be whittled down to five official nominees on December 6th. Wouldn't that be cool if Maurice Ager won a Grammy? That's fun stuff right there. All right, Detroit Pistons, they ended their preseason in style with a 99-98 victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday, thanks to Josh Smith's three-pointer as time expired. Now, T-Wolves guard J.J. Barea, he gave his team the lead with a layup with 3.6 seconds remaining, and the Pistons found their big free agent signing with a good look at the buzzer. The shot bounced high off the rim and fell through the hoop to give the Pistons the W. Now, Smith's winner saved Piston teammates Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Greg Monroe, who each missed two free throw attempts in the final moments. Can't do that, fellas. Hope that doesn't happen in the regular season. The Pistons opened the regular season, on October 30th, hosting the Washington Wizards. How about that? All right. Cards and Sox. The St. Louis Cardinals, they bounced back and eventually, even the World Series at one game apiece with a 4-2 win behind a terrific outing from pitcher Michael Wacha. Now, Wacha pitched six strong innings, surrendering a two-run homer to David Ortiz. Big Poppy has been so good in the postseason in the sixth, and not much else, though. Big Poppy's homer ended Wacha's scoreless streak at 18 and two-thirds innings, a rookie record for a single postseason. Now, luckily, his team responded the next inning when Matt Carpenter and Carlos Beltran drove in runs, to give the Cardinals a 4-2 lead, one they'd hope to hold on to for the win. So the series now shifts to St. Louis for three games starting Saturday night. All right, Thursday night football, the Carolina Panthers, they look sharp on a Thursday night, hammering the winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-13. The win moves the Panthers to 4-3, their first above 500 record since 2008. Cam Newton said after the game, who, by the way, gave me 27 fantasy football points. Thanks a lot, Cam. He says, quote, "It's the culmination of a lot of things." He goes on to say, when you've got an offensive line that's protecting the way they protect, when you've got a running back that's running, you've got receivers making plays after the catch, it's not really hard. It's just up to me to make the right decision and get the ball into people's hands that it needs to be." Now, the Buccaneers are a dreadful 0-7, which has prompted fans to wear paper bags in the stands and urge the organization to fire head coach Greg Schiano. Schiano went on to say after the game, quote, "It doesn't affect me. People are certainly entitled to their opinion. You sit there and cry about it, but that's not going to help." That was Schiano's quote after the game in response to the crowd's chants. And also on our Facebook page, a radio station. If you go to facebook.com/currentsports and like us there, you will see a billboard that a radio station actually paid for that says that's really vying for the firing of Schiano. So, man, I feel like his days are numbered. So, again, Buccaneers, they just get trampled on by the Carolina Panthers. 31-13, your final on Thursday Night Football. All right, the 2013 season will be the last to feature Riddle as its official helmet of the NFL. A league spokesman in the company confirmed that Thursday night. Now, NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said the league agreed in 1989 to give Riddle rights to be the official helmet of the NFL. And, now that's ending. Riddle said in a statement to ESPN.com on Thursday night, quote, We are proud of our relationship with the NFL. We are also very proud of the fact that year after year, a majority of NFL players choose to wear rental helmets. A true statement to our relentless efforts to protect athletes. While it is accurate that our current NFL agreement will expire next year, we look forward to a continued positive and productive relationship with the NFL in the future. We are confident that we will continue to be the helmet of choice of our nation's elite football players. Now, according to an account published this week by SI.com, Commissioner Roger Goodell said at a youth league event this summer in Connecticut that the league, quote, had to use quite a bit of leverage, end quote, to end the deal. So again, Reynolds saying bye-bye after this season. You won't see that R-I-D-D-E-L-L on the top of NFL helmets. All right, Favre. Brett Favre has revealed that he has forgotten memories of his daughter growing up because of the damage caused to his brain by big hits while playing football. Now, the NFL legend said he found it pretty shocking that he cannot remember his grown-up daughter playing youth soccer one summer. He said he fears he has been damaged by his time in the game, and that for the first time in his life, it, quote, put a little fear in me. Now, Favre also said that, quote, I think after 20 years in the NFL, God only knows the toll. Now, to have such an icon of the game talk about damages caused him, again, I think this will definitely put, you know, NFL under more pressure to do something about brain-related head injuries. Favre started 321 consecutive games, threw 552 touchdown passes in his career, during which he was known for his toughness and playing through injuries. Man, tough stuff there. All right, NASCAR and concussion tests. NASCAR will mandate baseline concussion tests. Testing starting next season. The sanctioning body, they announced that Thursday as well. Now, the baseline test will be required prior to the start of the season in order to measure it against another result in case a driver is involved in a crash. Now, the comparison will be one of several factors that doctors use to diagnose and treat concussions. Dale Earnhardt Jr., just as an example, he sat out for two races last season with a concussion. Concussion, concussions, concussions, concussions. You hear it every single day now in sports. It's becoming certainly a hot topic, to say the least. All right, well, those are your current sports headlines on this October 25th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call right here at the Current Sports Studio. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And as custom on Fridays here at Current Sports, we'll be taking your game predictions throughout the entire show. MSU, of course, taking on Illinois tomorrow. Lions and Cowboys in action on Sunday. Give us a score prediction, and who do you think will win? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Well, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, you truly missed a special one. We had one of the biggest crowds that we've ever had on the show and one fantastic guest, Dr. Sally Nogle. Now, Dr. Sally Nogle, she was the first female athletic trainer for a football team in the Big Ten Conference, and in July was elevated to MSU head athletic trainer. Now, Nogle has been an athletic trainer at Michigan State University for 30 years. Yes, quite a long time. Now, I first had to ask, how in the world did she get started in the world of athletic training?
Well, I went to college at San Diego State University, and I was playing sports. I was playing volleyball and basketball, and we had an athletic trainer. And I got hurt, ironically a concussion, and I met the athletic trainer that way. And that's how I found out about the profession. I was looking for something in the healthcare area, and so it worked out really well.
Now for you, I mean, going back in time when you first started, the profession of athletic training overall has grown as far as women goes over the years. But I'm sure back in your day, what I've read, it was at a point where you didn't see too many women athletic trainers. I mean, talk about that field and how it's kind of growing over time when it comes to women.
The whole profession of athletic training has grown. It started in 1950. The numbers have increased from, you know, a few thousand to now to 30,000 athletic trainers. And the female percentage went from a low percentage, maybe 20-30%, to now we're 50%. So they're working in all fields of athletic training. It's still limited in the college setting, and especially at the Division I setting. Mm-hmm. But the profession has grown a lot.
For you, why do you think it's grown over time, year after year?
I think that sports, especially like Title IX, has helped with women's sports being added. More sports, just whole sports evolution of the whole country. We like sports better. We have more, you know, teams. We're hiring athletic trainers to help those teams, and so that's been a positive for us.
Now, for you, Sally, a pretty cool story. You know, when I was doing my research, doing my homework, When you came here and trying and getting your feet wet in athletic training at MSU, George Perlis, of course, head football coach at MSU during that time. And he didn't really give you a shot at first, but eventually did. I mean, talk about that. I mean, trying to earn your way as far as the football aspect of things. I mean, getting on the field and being that athletic trainer.
Yes, when I first arrived here, I had worked football and men's basketball at San Diego State. So when I came here, I thought, when I said they're working football, women's basketball, I thought, okay, that sounds good. And then I got here, and George had never worked with women before. He'd come from college when there was no women athletic trainers or even women around, and then the pros. He was with the Steelers for many years. And so I got here, and he said, well, you can work with our team, but you cannot go on the field. And I was like, what? I mean, how do you do that? You just stay in the training room and take care of them in there when they come in. And I was like, okay, I'm not trying to last here long. 30 years later, I'm still here.
Right,
but as time
right.
went on, he realized that I'm an athletic trainer, and it didn't matter if I was female or male. And so because of that, he eventually said, actually, one woman could go on the field, meaning me. But I said, okay, and I sent a student out. And he asked me, what are you doing? I said, you said one woman. You didn't say Sally. And so I started wanting the students to get the experience because I'd already had it, and I wanted them to get it. And then, next year or two, it took a couple years, he finally started realizing it didn't matter. And we could have female students out there, and he accepted me as an athletic trainer, and it was great.
When at first George didn't let you go out on the field, I mean, was that discouraging for you at all? I mean, and how did you deal with that?
It was very discouraging. I was shocked because I hadn't experienced that, and I didn't understand why, because I was an athletic trainer. It wasn't a problem working with males for me, so I didn't understand it. But he used to have a saying, work hard, keep your mouth shut, and good things will happen. And I thought, well, I'm going to try that. And to be honest, if it didn't work, I probably would have left. But it worked.
It worked out.
Yeah, it worked.
So did you bug him at all? So you just kind of, you didn't say anything to him. You just did your job, and eventually he came around.
Yep, I just kept working hard. And at times he had to deal with me because certain injuries happened, and he had to come to me and talk to me about it. And so I just kept doing my job and trying to do it well. And he eventually was like, okay, I just need a good athletic trainer.
Sally, you've done this. I don't know if it's sunk in yet, but you've done this for over 3 decades now. Give it up for that. Yes. Sally, that's remarkable. That's a long, long time. And, something very cool. When I looked at, your tenure here and, even before here, I mean, a lot of the players look at you as kind of a mother figure. A lot of athletes look at you as kind of a mother figure. You can ask any athlete that and they'll resonate that. I mean, talk about that and, how you look at athletes, and the relationships you develop with them over time working with them.
Well, I think as you work with the athletes, you get to know them well, so it becomes a family relationship. I'm not trying to take over their mother's position at all, but a lot of athletes have single-parent families, and so their mother is their health caregiver at home anyway, and so for them to come to me, it's not much different than if they're at home coming to their mom with whatever injury or whatever problem they have going on. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very natural in that respect, that they would think I'm more of a mom-type thing, but I'm a healthcare person, and I'm going right. to make sure they get in the field, so maybe the mom that kind of gets them going.
Right, right. Now, Sally, you have become the first female athletic trainer in Big Ten football, which is remarkable. And, I got to ask you, everything that you've, all the accolades you've had, and to kind of just blazing the pathway for other females that want to get into this profession, I mean, do you kind of look at yourself as a pioneer in this position, and has that hit you?
I don't think that's hit me. I don't know that I would consider myself a pioneer, but obviously people are considering that. You talk about blazing a trail. I look at it as it took 30 years, so I think it more is smoldering a trail, It's kind of it took a little while there.
Baby steps, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's fantastic, and, I hope more women get the opportunity in the Big Ten and around the country. So I hope that, the part I have played in it does help them. I hope that does give young women a goal to set and go for it.
Sally, also something really cool is that recently you were named to the National Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Fame. Whoa.
What?
That's remarkable. It's particularly remarkable because only 12 women have been inducted, and there's 300 members, 300 plus members. Where were you when you got the call?
At my office, and I got the call, and I'm on a committee, and I thought, oh, she's calling about this committee. And so I said, oh, how you doing? I started talking. What are you talking about? And then she told me, the president of the NATA, and I was like, wow, very humbling, shocking, and very honored. I went in with John Powell, one of my coworkers. That was special, and it's an honor, that's for sure. But I feel like I just do my job, so I'm not sure feel like I deserve it in that sense. I just working.
Gotcha. Now, with the other women who've been inducted, I mean, are you in contact with them as well, or I mean, or?
I know all the other 11 women in the Hall of Fame. Yes.
Do you?
And some have been there, you know, and some have passed away, unfortunately. But many women haven't been in there that long, and so the ones that have gotten in before me, I've known through committees and various organizations.
Remarkable. Now, throughout your entire career, Sally, you've worked with many athletes, hundreds of athletes, to be honest with you. What are some of the most memorable ones that really stand out to you?
I would say, you know, recently I had Kirk Cousins, a great person and great athlete to work with. Drew Stanton, you know, both quarterbacks, both were hurt. I spent a lot of time with them, you know, taking them to doctor's appointments, working with their rehab. Tyrell Dortch coming back from his seriously broken leg. And then maybe someone like Kurt Larson, who had to have surgery and needed some blood donated. And so his mother wasn't sure about getting blood from a bank, so I donated my blood to him.
You donated your blood?
Yes.
Wow.
So I feel like he's my blood brother.
Wow, there you go. Wow. Yeah. Really cool stuff there, Sally. Yeah. And, you know, another aspect of this, I mean, you've gotten to work with so many teams. Specifically, something really cool is that you've actually worked on Olympic teams as well. If you look at it, 1984 Olympics with the USA volleyball team, 1988 Olympics with the American rowing team, and even the World University Games women's basketball team. I mean, how is that getting to work on the premier level of athletics, you know? I mean, just working on the Olympic level. I mean, talk about that and memories from that.
Olympic experience, it was a fantastic experience, you know, to see the athletes and how hard they've worked to get there, to be the top 12 in the country or whatever, was very special. For me, it was special to meet the other healthcare providers that you're with and then go in the village, like in Korea, to just meet all the different people from all the different countries.
Right.
To be part of that, to travel the world was special, you know, so I felt blessed I got the opportunity to do it, you know, that I was the lucky one to get to do it, not, you know, and then to meet them and to be part of it was really special.
I mean, how do you get recognized to go to the Olympics? They just call you up and say, hey, you know, we want to bring you on the squad.
I wish. No. You had to volunteer at the Olympic Training Center, and then they evaluated each step along the way. So I did some, they had Olympic festivals back in the day and U.S. sports festivals, and I volunteered for each of those, and they selected you for the next event after that.
Well, get up for that, guys. That's great. That's great stuff. Now, Sally, something that, you know, before I let the 12th man get at you, I got to ask you, because we talked about this topic very extensively over the past few weeks, concussions, mm-hmm. concussions in the world of sports. Of course, the League of Denial special that came out, I believe it was last week or a couple weeks ago, yeah. talking about the NFL's cover-up, quote-unquote cover-up, you know, over time, you know, yeah. not recognizing the detrimental effects that concussions can have on players years down the line. Concussions are becoming a growing discussion.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, you know, where is this thing going to go?
Wow, if I had the answer, that'd be fantastic. But I think as we have more data that shows us that there might be issues, that we would maybe decrease the hitting that's taking place, and maybe in the youth sport, especially in football. I think we have better treatments once they do get the concussion now. You know, we're actually doing some research here at Michigan State University on that, doing some imaging and some testing on our athletes when they do get a concussion to make sure when we put them back that they're okay to go back, that we're not going to cause problems down the line is our goal.
Right.
So I think a lot of that's going to keep coming around. Hopefully eventually they'll find a treatment for it. You know, they can find some kind of medicine or some kind of thing that we can give the person that will help it heal faster, the brain heal faster.
For you guys, once a concussion is suspected, once an athlete is on the ground and, you know, he may have symptoms, I mean, what is the procedure that you guys go through to kind of diagnose that individual?
We have the athlete obviously come, if they're on the field, we come off the field and we sit there and we have our team doctors, Dr. Pearson, evaluate him and does all the different tests we have. We have memory tests, some balance tests, things that we do to make sure that the person is concussed or not concussed. So we have a definitive answer. Mm-hmm. We also have computerized testing that we do pre-season, so they have baseline testing. And we do it post-concussion, and that will help us compare how their brain is working before and after the concussion.
Over the years, I mean, this isn't just a football thing. I mean, you've seen concussions over the years in multiple sports, right?
Yes. They come in every sport. You know, football's collision, so we get a lot more of them, but you get them in every contact sport, basketball, soccer, field hockey. We've had them in every sport this year.
Have they been growing over time? Is there a trend that you've seen, or has they always kind of been there?
I think they've always been there. I think we're better at recognizing them now, and the athletes are better at telling us about them now. So
right.
before, they used to just keep playing and not tell you. Now they tell us. We're better at saying, no, you didn't just have your bell rung, you actually have a concussion, we need to deal with this. So they've been there, but you know, I think that we're getting better at recognizing them and treating them in probably in a better way than we used to.
Only time will tell, right?
Yep.
All right, well, Sally, I'm going to let the 12th man, jump in this thing. Stick around because we're going to take questions from our 12th man, our live studio audience. Don't go nowhere because the 12th man starts right now. Right now. Yeah. Well, it's time for the 12th man, Sally.
Or woman.
Okay, 12th woman. We're going to rename her. The 12th woman. Sorry, guys, you already asked a question, all right? But, all right, well, let's get right to it. We're going to take questions from our live studio audience right here at WKAR. First question comes from Luann. How you doing, Luann? Welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you.
What's your question?
Dr. Nogal, it's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for making a way for us in athletic training as females. We appreciate it. My question is, what is the greatest advancement that you've seen in athletic training in your career?
The greatest advancement, I would say, is in the evidence-based medicine that we're using. The research that we've done over the last 20, 30 years from just doing things that we thought were a good idea to do, and now we actually have evidence that says this rehab technique will work or this preventative technique will work. And so I think it's the research that we've done over the last 20 or 30 years has probably helped our profession immensely grow and give us credibility.
Great question. Thank you, Luann. Give it up for that. Good stuff. All right. Our next one comes from Big Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Great, great.
Good stuff. What's your question?
Dr. Nogal, you've covered MSU football for 31 years, and you've seen a lot of great plays and a lot of great games. On the sidelines over those 31 years, what's the most memorable moment that you have?
Great question.
Wow. That's a lot of games that I've seen and enjoyed.
Got to dig, huh?
I will say that probably winning the Rose Bowl, unfortunately 25 years ago or 26 years ago, but winning the Rose Bowl was probably my most memorable moment, and I'm going to say I hope we get a chance to repeat that this year.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks a lot, man. All right, Doug, how you doing? Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's your question?
Sally. Other than the wins and losses, what is the best and worst part of your position over the years?
I would say the best part is all the people I get to work with. So all of my students, my coworkers, my team physicians, the athletes, the coach, working with the people is what makes it special. The worst part, I believe, would be when you have to tell an athlete that they can no longer play or that they are, you know, for that season or for their career. That's probably the hardest thing to do after they've worked that many years for their goals, worked that hard, and they can no longer participate. You'd see them devastated and you feel badly for them.
Thanks a lot, Doug. Appreciate it. Great question. Great question. Give it up for that. All right. Marie, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here. Sally, what's the most gruesome injury you've ever treated on the field?
That's a great. I'm very interested in the response. I've been waiting on this one.
Wow. The most gruesome looking was probably Tyrell Dortch, who I mentioned earlier, in that his leg, when he broke both bones in his leg, it was facing the wrong direction. And so as you're running out there, you could see that it was not normal, I guess. And so that was not a pretty one to see. One of the worst injuries would be the broken neck. Actually, we've had a few of them that we've had, but they were not as gruesome, to be honest. But they were probably the more serious injuries that we had, and thankfully they were okay.
Sally, when something like that happens, I mean, how do you go about calming the athlete down to make, you know, just to ease them a little bit? Because that's got to be horrific for that individual.
Yeah, when you're running out there and if you see it's that bad like that, you know you're going to have to calm them down. That's the good part of being an athletic trainer is you have a relationship with these players and that you know them. And so you can, you know, call them by name, tell them you're going to be okay, even, you know, at the moment, you know, let's just settle down, hold still, we're going to take care of this for you. In that case, we actually had to hold him down a little bit because he was in such pain, and the doctor was about to put it straight, so we held him down. But normally you can sit there and, you know, you kind of hold them a little bit so they don't start jumping up and try and get, you know, jump on an injured leg or whatever. But so yeah, you take your time with them and calm them down.
Wow, I would have fainted. That's crazy.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. Okay, and last but certainly not least, Jana, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much. I have a really important question for Sally. What is your favorite food at a tailgate?
Do you get the tailgate?
Well, I was going to say, I actually don't get a tailgate before the game. It doesn't happen. But after the game, I look forward to the post-game tailgates, And, you know, the good food that we have at our tailgates, a lot of different people cook great food. And my favorite thing is probably the brownies that that Jana Stewart cooks.
That's Jana, right there. Wow. There you go. Can I get some of those one day?
Yes, you want some.
I would love some brownies.
You want some?
Yes, I'm definitely gonna get some.
Yes, and Jana is a very, very good friend of Sally's, and I'm holding her to those brownies. Jana, I know you're listening right now. I want some of those brownies. I'm holding you to them. You know, one of these days after, I can't tailgate either. I work the games, but after the game, I'm going to find where you are, and I'm getting some of those brownies, all right? But it was a great time this week. Be a part of next week's live studio audience as I sit down with head coach and vice president of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. That's Matthew Brown. Matthew Brown, Matt has been a guest here on the radio show and was so good. You don't want to miss as he gives insight on the uniqueness of his league where kids play for free. Yes, everything is free. The equipment, the jerseys, I mean, you don't have to pay anything if you make the team. He will also go into how he tries to inspire the kids who come through his program, and will also discuss how the game of football is becoming safer and safer at the youth level. Sign up to be a part of the audience at WKAR.org. That's our taping each and every Wednesday. Again, next Wednesday, Matthew Brown. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into MSU Women's Basketball Media Day. Yes, I was there yesterday chatting with head coach Susie Merchant and the players, hear what they had to say and how they are. And, they'll answer the question if they're healthy. I don't want to say it. Knock on wood. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
What if you were a scientist studying psychopaths and discovered you fit the profile? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the life of a neuroscientist who did. Plus a real-life case of the walking dead and toxic green slime invading our lakes and rivers. Science can be spooky on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Current State's weekday stories and explore Mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to community events. Tune in Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at noon for WKAR's Current State Weekend.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just finished playing you last night's Current Sports TV episode as I sat down with MSU head athletic trainer Sally Nogle as she gave insight into her just illustrious career. She's been an athletic trainer at Michigan State University for over 30 years now. Yes, and I was also inducted into the National Association for Athletic Trainers Hall of Fame. Only 12 women have been inducted throughout its history, and she was one of those. So with over 300 members, only 12 are women, and she is one of those. That's unbelievable. Remarkable stuff. Again, if you want to catch that Current Sports TV episode, visit video.wkar.org. Again, that's video.wkar.org, and click the Current Sports link, and all of the episodes that we've done so far are posted right there on the website, so you can choose any episode from Mo Pete, Greg Kelser, Joanne Gerstner, Sally Nogle, of course. I mean, every episode we've done is posted on there. So, and again, remind you all that if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, we tape each and every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. This last week's was a little bit later due to Sally getting off work a little later, but we usually 6 o'clock each and every Wednesday. Next week is Matthew Brown, vice president and head coach of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. Sign up at WKAR.org. All right, well, let's dive into MSU Women's Basketball Media Day, which took place yesterday. Yes, I took the trip down to, which isn't far, on campus, to the Breslin Center as head coach Susie Merchant addressed the media on the state of this team right now coming into this season. Now, they're coming off a 25-9 season and had one of their best starts to the season in program history last year as they rattled off about 12 straight games. Unbelievable stretch there. They ended up, though, tied for third in the Big Ten at 10-6 and went to the second round of the NCAA tourney and lost to number 10 Maryland. They're graduating two starters. Of course, Jasmine Thomas, who played point guard for the team, was a great leader for that team last year. And, of course, Courtney Schiffauer, who was a part of our live studio audience this week for Current Sports TV. Yes, Schiff was there. Courtney Schiffauer has graduated. She was a pit bull for that team, I tell you. Kind of like the Bill Laimbeer-type figure for the team. But she's gone now. But they returned five of their six top scorers, including leading scorer and rebounder Clarissa Bell, who is now, she was a captain last year, but she's also a captain this year. And also Annalise Prickrell is with the team, and she has been named captain for this year's season. So with, of course, with Jasmine Thomas and Schiff, leaving the team, that leadership is definitely, there may be a hole in it, but, Schiff is, Thomas and Schiff, now that they're gone, Kay Bell and Annalise Pickrell, they have a load on their shoulders now trying to lead this team. And, Susie and Kay Bell and Pickrell, they feel as though they're up to the challenge.
I always say, as your seniors go, so go your team. I mean, I think every coach feels that way that is involved in this level of coaching, whatever sport it is. Those two kids are going to set the tone and set the tone from the locker room on out to the 40 minutes that we play on the floor in practice. So those kids have a ton of experience, very talented kids. What I love about their leadership is it always starts with leading themselves first. I think sometimes people think leadership is about telling everybody what to do, and sometimes it's really about first starting with yourself. So one thing in their entire career that I've always appreciated is those kids are our hardest working kids in the program. And that's not a bad connection when your seniors are your hardest workers. Some of their challenges will be to become more vocal. Most young ladies in leadership roles sometimes struggle with that, but Clarissa stepped up last year as a captain. I think Annalise has a really strong focus this year and is very much looking forward to a significant role on this team. So I have a good connection with them. I think we're all on the same page, no question about it, and they'll lead us to great opportunities.
Last year I was also a captain, but I don't think I had that big of a voice, and right. So I just kind of sat back and watched how Schiff and Jazz kind of worked the team and were right. Part of the team, and I think that this year, I think it's finally time that I've kind of like proven myself, and it's time that where I can say stuff if I see it, and I don't feel like I'm not shied away from it at all. So I'm really excited about leading this team with Anna this year. I think that we're going to have a great team, and we have great players, and we're ready to rock.
So, Kay, what did you learn specifically about, leadership, looking at last season? I mean, did you regret anything? I mean, not being more vocal, or what areas specifically did you want to improve on being a leader this year?
I don't know if I regretted anything, but I think that I was just kind of letting the seniors have their, their way with it and let them. I mean, it was their team last year, and so just letting them dictate what was going to happen and stuff like that. I don't know. Schiff was a big vocal leader for us last year, and Jazz kind of leaded by example. And I don't know if I regretted anything, but I wish I would have been more vocal, I guess. That was a big thing Susie wanted me to work on this summer, was being more vocal and having that commanding presence.
Now talk about losing Schiff and Jasmine Thomas. I mean, two starters last season. I mean, talk about what they brought to the table, losing that now, and how you guys plan to combat that this season.
I mean, Schiff is just crazy energy, doesn't care to get knocked down to the ground, so we're definitely going to miss that this year. And Jasmine Thomas, I mean, she's so speedy, and her defense is awesome. And so I think that that's something that we're definitely going to miss this year, just those two. I don't know how you can really replace a Schiff or a Jazz. So we just got to figure out how we're going to work without them. And I think that, I mean, it's a whole new team this year, so we've really just been working on defense. And we have young players. I mean, Ariel, Brandy, Tori, everybody's young, not that experienced. And so we've been working a lot on defense and just making sure that we're in our gaps and everything like that, and offensively just working together.
Annalise, you being a captain, this year, I mean, talk about that leadership role. How are you going about motivating this team going into this season so far?
Well, I think what I can bring to the leadership piece is my energy and tough mentality, I guess. The hardest thing about it is being prepared for practice every single day, which also carries over the game. So, and having that expectation for my teammates too, but it's got to start, you know, from me and KB really. So, yeah, that, but the responsibility piece is what I've been looking forward to for the past 3 years, like being a senior captain. I just, having that pressure on me is actually, I enjoy that.
So you like that pressure? Why do you like that pressure?
I don't know. I like a challenge like that, I guess, to be able to sort of better myself as, you know, if I'm frustrated or something, being able to learn from that and being able to kind of, it's sort of like exploring different parts of yourself and being able to grow from that. That's just like selfishly for myself. But for my teammates wise, I like being able to be responsible of a group of people and making sure that everyone's, you know, solid and doing what they should be doing, you know, and that starts with practice, you know, coming ready, energy, talking, stuff like that.
And there's definitely more room for you to be, you know, to step into that leadership role now, seeing as though Schiff is gone and Jasmine Thomas is gone. Just briefly, I want you to talk about that. I mean, losing those two starters, I mean, they brought a lot to this team. Losing both of them, what did they bring to the table, and how do you combat that now that they're gone?
Well, I think that they, before they were in that role, I think they were very, you know, not as outgoing and stuff like that. But when they had to step into that role, being able to watch them do that and like take on things that they hadn't had to before, it taught me. So I kind of got to watch it before I had to do it, so which was nice. So
what'd you learn from them?
I guess just the preparation and being able to. Sort of work with everybody on the team, no matter if it's something that you want to do or not. So it's
compromise.
Yeah, exactly. Compromise. Yeah, learn how to compromise. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, wait, we found the word. We got it.
Yeah.
Compromise. We all got to compromise in life, right? So, yeah, that was Susie Merchant, head basketball coach, along with captains Clarissa Bell and Annalise Pickrell as they step into the leadership role. Now the primary leaders on this team and try to rally the troops for another great season. Also, something that's been really a hindrance for this team, the Achilles heel for this team, both figuratively and literally, I should say, is injuries. Yes, the I word has not treated this team well the past few seasons. If you look at last season, Ariel Powers, who, you know, a lot of expectations for her coming out of high school, expect to be a big contributor to the team last season, and then all of a sudden on October 26th, yes, it's about to be the anniversary of that injury. It's supposed to be tomorrow. October 26th is when she got injured in practice, where she tore her Achilles tendon in her left ankle. And then Brandi Agee, of course, she had an ACL injury and had to sit out most of the season. And Madison Williams, many of you know Madison because she's been here for so long at this Michigan State basketball program, but has simply not been healthy enough to get on the court, seeing as though she had not one, not two, but three straight ACL injuries. Can you believe that? I got a chance to sit down with Ariel Powers and to talk about this team and the injuries and I first had to ask her if she is healthy.
Yes, I feel like I'm 100% healthy.
You do. How was the – talk about last year. How frustrating was that for you?
Very frustrating. It was maybe 4 days before our first game, and, you know, anxiety. You're like, oh, my God, I'm finally going to be able to play in college, you know, freshman year. Right. And then it all hit me in practice around, like, over there at the –
You know, the specific spot and everything.
Yeah, I was – we were at a free throw, and I was boxing out, and I just jumped up, and it just completely tore. And I knew exactly what it was, and my heart was broken. I was really, really, really upset.
Right. Going through that whole rehab process and that moment when it did happen, I mean, what did you learn about yourself?
I learned to stay focused, and I've always been impatient, yeah. And my injury has made me become patient because I just really want to come back and just want to play during the season, and I couldn't. It wasn't in me. You know, I wasn't able to. I had to let my Achilles heal and then go through the conditioning and rehab and just getting my body to where it needs to be. My leg, my left leg was a lot smaller than my right, and you could tell just looking at it.
Right,
so
right.
I had to work on everything and just kind of just be patient and let it all come back to me.
What kept you going? I mean, did you talk to family about it? Did you talk to fellow teammates? I mean, what did they tell you? What kept you positive, if you will?
Luckily, I'm not far from Michigan State. I live about an hour and a half away. So my parents came up the same night, and they really encouraged me. And we didn't focus on me hurting myself or the negative. We focused on what I needed to do to come back and be able to play this year. That was a big thing. It wasn't about why this happened to you. Okay, we're sorry this happened to you, but this is what we need to do to get on the right path and get you to where you need to be next year. And that's just that snapped me into reality, and I didn't just constantly put myself in self-pity. I try my best to be there for my teammates and just come back from it. That's the only thing I could do.
Gotcha. So how healthy are you right now? Give me a percentage. Is it 100%, 90, 80, 70?
Let's say 90%. I won't give myself the other 10% until I actually play a game and then I see how my Achilles reacts to it.
Even though you were injured, Ariel, you guys, you know, you felt that loss just as much as everybody did going out in the second round of the tournament. I mean, talk about that moment. How devastating was it? And how you guys are using that as motivation this season?
It was very devastating. Watching the team, me and Brandy wanted to get out there and just help and help and help. But the only thing we could do was voice our opinions and try to tell them what we think would help when they were out there. But it's very hard when you're not able to help your teammates and you just see that, you know, this might be it. This might be the game that puts us away, you know.
Right.
So I can't wait for this year.
What are the expectations for you personally and for this team?
Personally, I really think we can be Big Ten champions because we're an awesome team and everybody's pretty much almost healthy. And I feel like Maddie and Brandy and myself are going to bring a lot to the team. We were the three girls that were hurt last year.
Yeah.
So we already got to the championship game without us. So I feel like when we come back, we're just going to help. And I feel like we can win, definitely. And we're definitely going to get to a Final Four.
And you guys probably, you know, kind of it was almost like a little sorority with you guys because all three of you were injured. You guys probably lean on each other a lot, right?
We got a lot closer. Me and Brandy actually last year were roommates in the dorm.
Oh, really?
And we weren't as close. And then through this whole process, we really just connected and we laugh and we talk about everything. And I think it's really helped us. And I think it's going to help us when we get out there on the court also because of it.
So, Brandy, you and Brandy, that's who you're probably the closest with on this team, right?
I'm close to Brandy and Mariah. Them two together are crazy. And then when I started getting closer to them, it was awesome. It made me love being on the team even more.
So, yeah, again, that was Ariel Powers, who tore her Achilles tendon in her left ankle last season, had to sit out the entire season. Of course, she was roommates, as you just heard, with Brandy Agee, who went out with an ACL injury, and Madison Williams. Of course, we know her history when it comes to ACL injuries. She has not really gotten much playing time on the court because she's had three straight torn ACLs. Can you believe that? Well, they all seem to be healthy. You know, that was the common theme, you know, going around, you know, talking with the different players there at MSU Women's Basketball Media Day. Injuries have been the common theme because they have been simply something that have plagued this team for quite some time. And it was so remarkable last season. We talked about this yesterday, to see this team, you know, rattle off, you know, 11 or 12 straight, you know, to start the season when they were dealing with all of those injuries. I mean, they had like a 6-7-man rotation going game after game after game, and they were so consistent. Again, though, they finished third in the Big Ten and had to, say so long pretty early in the second round of the NCAA tourney as they lost to number 10 Maryland. And, folks, if you watched that game, it was a pretty ugly loss. The Spartans actually lost that game 79-49. Yes, it was a 30-point blowout, and it was not a good day for the Lady Spartans. So, anyway, they're revving up. They seem positive, upbeat, everyone's looking forward to this upcoming season. I want to thank Susie and the players for taking their time with me to talk to them, and we'll have more from them certainly next week as there's some more interesting stories that definitely want to be highlighted on this team, but we'll play those next week for you. Let's take a quick break, though. I want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls throughout this entire show. We got about 10-11 minutes or so left. Getting your predictions on the weekend gridiron action. What do you guys think is going to go down tomorrow as MSU takes on Illinois on the road? And will the Lions get the W over the Cowboys? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. NFL picks and Reflection Friday is coming right at you.
On the next Fresh Air, we feature our interview with musician Anat Cohen, who brought her clarinet to the studio. The new album, Tightrope, features the three Cohens, Anat and her brothers, saxophonist Yuval and trumpeter Avishai Cohen. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, joined by Matt Luckey now. And we're going to dive into, it's Friday, so we're going to dive into NFL picks now. And these make or break you, I tell you, when it comes to things can totally change these NFL picks. It's fun, though. It keeps me on, keeps us all on the, the edge of our seats, you know, locked into these games because I do not want to sing again, Matt. And I don't know. I think I'm maybe in last place now, I think.
We are actually tied.
We're tied. Me and you are tied.
We're only two back, though, so it's anybody's ball game.
Wow. So Alex is leading us right now.
Somehow. I don't know. I might have messed up the numbers because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
That does not make a lot of sense. Alex is leading. You don't hear that often.
No.
Oh, my gosh. All right. What we got, man?
Okay. Well, quickly, let's get some college games out of the way because, of course, Jim Leland stepping down Monday. We didn't get to make those picks. MSU versus Illinois.
Score two. Give me MSU. Mm-hmm. I think the Spartans pull this out. I'm going to say, you know what? No. Give me Illinois. I'm going to go with Illinois in this one.
Okay.
Give me Illinois 27-21.
27-21. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
Very.
Taking a risk.
I'm going to take MSU. I think the defense is a little too much. Hopefully they get the passing game going. I'm going to say Michigan State wins 24-13 over Illinois.
Gotcha.
All right. Penn State versus Ohio State. It's the other marquee matchup in the Big Ten.
Right. I'm going to go Ohio State on that one.
Okay. Me as well. Do you want to do the score for that too?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it. What do you got?
Give me Ohio State 31, Penn State 21.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take Ohio State 31, Penn State 24.
Oh, that was close.
Yeah,
close.
I was actually writing that down as you were saying it. Wow. Okay. We missed the NFL Thursday game as well. Panthers, I think everybody would have taken the Panthers.
Yeah, I think we all chose the Panthers, right?
Yeah. Who would pick the Bucks?
Yeah, I know. They are so bad.
They burned
so
me
bad.
Earlier when they were losing by like 5, and now they're losing by 50. So
shout out, though, to Cam Newton because I am so bad when it comes to the current sports fantasy football league. I'm playing Aaron this week, and he got me 27 points.
Those are 27 big points.
27 huge points there, man.
Al, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Who wins first, the Buccaneers or the Jaguars?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm going to go Jags. I just think the Bucs.
Really?
They both are really, really bad. But I'm gonna say the Jags, man. I don't think they'll win this week, though. I don't think the Jags will win this week.
I feel like if the Bucs fire their coach.
Yeah, you think it's going to happen soon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
the
it's going to
the fans are clamoring for it.
You see that? Did you see that billboard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Just right
fire
there.
Shiano.
Fire. Yeah, exactly. Right in front of your face.
Rightfully so. He has done nothing to keep his job.
Nothing at all. I mean, they've lost like 12 of the last 13 games, something like that.
Terrible.
Crazy.
They have a good defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Until last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Darrell Revis was playing fine. But
right.
All right, let's move on. Cowboys-Lions.
Give me the Lions. You know, and it's this game.
This
of
is
course,
your two teams.
Exactly.
You're conflicted.
This is the only week for me where I just have to just kind of – if I had to choose a team, I would want the Lions to win. I'm born and raised in Detroit, but I'm a Cowboys fan at heart as well. So it's one of those games I'll just be sitting back, just no cheering, just watching. So it's like a catch-22 game for me every
really
single
is.
Season. But yeah, I'm going with the Lions, though. Give me the Lions.
I'm
going
to take the Lions as well. Last week was terrible. They should not have lost that game.
No, they shouldn't have.
Hopefully Tony Romo has a little bit of that Romo anti-magic in him, and he can hand the Lions the victory at the last second.
Yeah, we know Tony.
Would not be surprising.
No, not at all.
All right, next up, Browns at the unbeaten Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs. I think they stay undefeated here.
Yep.
The Browns, they're going through too much right now.
The Browns are going through a lot, and Kansas City at home is really tough to beat.
Without
I don't see the Browns moving the ball at all against Kansas City's defense either.
No, that one might get ugly. I'm going with Chiefs, though.
All right, me too. Dolphins at Patriots.
Give me the Patriots, man. I'm going with the Patriots. I think they rebound after Tom Brady's a little ticked off that he didn't get to take the field after that last-second loss last weekend. He comes out gunning, I think. I'm going with the Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Patriots as well. Rob Gronkowski, second week back.
Yeah, didn't he look great in that first game back? He looked really good.
I don't know if he was ever hurt.
I know, right? That's what it
is. The guy is a machine.
He is unbelievable.
I feel like he breaks his arm and like doesn't realize that he broke his arm.
Right.
He's just a big dude, and him back in that offense just takes the pressure off of everybody else. Those receivers can actually maybe get open now.
Right. Exactly.
Just
because
I think so much attention is paid to Gronk.
Tom Brady, I mean, he can take a breath now and kind of relax in the pocket knowing that he has something to throw to now.
Right. He's got a safety valve, and it's one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Bills at the Saints.
Give me the Saints, baby.
Yep, all day. Saints at home.
Yep.
Giants at Eagles.
Eagles.
I'm going to take Philly as well. 49ers at the Jaguars in London.
49ers.
Yeah, that's a
49ers.
No-brainer
on that one.
It would be weird if the Jaguars got their one win
in London.
You know, outside of American soil. You know, they have they have to go to Europe to win.
Right, it's like
the London Jaguars.
Oh gosh,
it's got a ring to it. I think Goodell's gonna push for that sooner or later. Jets at Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals in this one. Give me Cincy. The Bengals are at home, right?
They are.
Yeah, give me the Bengals.
Yep, I'm going to take the Bengals, too. Steelers at the Raiders. This is an interesting matchup.
It is. Very interesting. Two bad teams going at it.
Yep.
I think the Steelers pull this one out.
You know what? I have to agree with you. I think they're getting Bell going.
Yeah, Le'Veon.
Yeah, they've been 2-1 since he came back.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon's record
late
looks great.
Late push for rookie of the year.
I know, right?
Come on, Le'Veon.
Yeah, come on.
All right, Redskins at the Broncos.
I'm going with the Broncos. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning.
Think he's going to rebound after last week?
I think he does. I think he does rebound, and I think the overall team rebounds. I mean, going against a Redskins team is not that great. Give him the Broncos.
Yep, I'm going to take the Broncos as well. The Redskins can't defend the pass.
No.
That's a tough spot to be in when you're playing Peyton Manning.
RG3 looked decent last
week. He's looked increasingly better. Each week, he's looked much better than the previous
week.
Yeah,
week by week, he's been getting better. I think he'll have a decent game, but I still think the Broncos pull it out.
Yeah, I would not be shocked at all if that is a 45-41 game.
Right.
Just a shootout.
Just a shootout now,
neither of those teams can play defense, even with Von Miller back.
Right, right.
Falcons at the Cardinals.
Give me Arizona.
Arizona playing at home.
Yep.
Yeah, I might have to go with them, too. Atlanta, I don't even know if they're going to have enough guys to field a team before the season is over.
They're
dropping like flies.
Like flies, man.
They have no receivers.
Yeah.
Harry Douglas is a viable fantasy option now because Julio Jones and Roddy White aren't doing anything.
I saw that. You know, his fantasy stock skyrocketed. A few guys actually skyrocketed. I had to
That's why fantasy is so strange. It's all about who just has the most opportunity to make plays as opposed to who is the better player.
Exactly. That's why it's all luck, man. Fantasy football is all about
luck.
Really,
it
takes no skill.
It's luck and timing. You just have to be constantly surfing the waiver wire, waiting to pick up Jarrett Boykin, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers.
Right, exactly. I stay glued to my XM radio with fantasy sports on Fridays. Like, my car stays on it. You saw it in my car the other day, and I'm like, it's too much. My head explodes sometimes thinking about it. But
just so much information, and
too much,
you don't know what to believe and what not to.
Exactly.
You never know until Sunday when you're kicking yourself for playing the wrong guy.
Right. Like, I don't know whether to start DeMarco Murray or not, you know, now. I mean, he's questionable
now,
but he still hurts.
But if he comes back,
he won't get a lot of playing time, I don't think.
Well, yeah. But he is playing the Lions, who are not good against running backs. So
that's so true.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what
I hear
to do.
You. I'm
conflicted.
It's a tough call. All right. Green Bay at Minnesota. This is Sunday night football.
Give me Green Bay. Green Bay.
Yep, they're just bad.
Minnesota's
the worst team in the division.
Mm-hmm. They're bad.
They're not good at all. Seahawks at the Rams.
Oh, gosh. Seahawks all day. Seahawks all day. St. Louis is just.
I'm going to take the Seahawks
as well. They're calling
up
Brett Favre.
I'm going to take the Seahawks as well, but only on the condition that Brett Favre does not pull a fast one in the least of a. What if he just came out of the tunnel, just surprises everybody, tells everyone, nowhere. No, no, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. Sunday rolls or Monday night rolls around.
He just runs
sense.
Out.
It would make sense that he'd return in prime time, though.
That would be one heck of an entrance if that happened. Absolutely. Right before kickoff, he just runs out there.
I'd tune in.
Man. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Who wouldn't?
I mean, who wouldn't? Exactly. All right, real quick, Matt, favorite moment of the week?
MSU Media Day.
Great, wasn't it?
Great.
I loved it, too. Media Day for
fantastic.
Me.
Fantastic.
Hands down. The Demaryius Reid story. Man, people in the Ipswich Landing, what is going on? Come on, guys. Come on. All right, well, anyway, again, if you want to check out that current sports TV episode, go to video.wkar.org. We post all our current sports TV episodes. Check it out if you missed it. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.